Welcome back. Last time we talked about the killing of Aaron's sons, Nadab and Abihu, by the Ark of the Covenant, or at least I think it was the Ark of the Covenant. The King James Version just says the Lord did it. But, you know, the Lord would have been right there on the mercy seat atop the Ark of the Covenant. So we're going to move on now to Leviticus chapter 11, which lays down the law on what humans are allowed to eat and what is prohibited for them to eat. And the Lord spake unto Moses and to Aaron, saying unto them, Speak unto the children of Israel, saying, These are the beasts which ye shall eat among all the beasts that are on the earth. Whatsoever parteth the hoof and is cloven-footed and cheweth the cud among the beasts, that shall ye eat. So we're talking beef here mostly because they have split hooves, not solid hooves like a horse. And they have that multiple stomach system that allows them to more thoroughly digest their plant-based food. And maybe that's a point in their favor as a potential food source, although what form their hooves take doesn't seem important one way or the other. But I'm thinking that the Yahwehians just came up with the food sources that they thought would be best for the humans. And based on that, they came up with a system of classification that would be easy for the humans to remember. You know, they probably did like a series of Venn diagrams, if the Yahwehians have Venn diagrams. Surely they have something similar. And they found that it just so happened that the best meat sources for humans were the cud-chewing, split-hooved species. Which is not necessarily to say that animals with solid hooves like horses, donkeys, mules, and so on were unsafe to eat. They might have just wanted to reserve them for other uses besides eating. I mean, you know, cows aren't much good for riding or pulling your chariot. But be ashamed to eat a good horse. Nevertheless, these shall ye not eat of them that chew the cud, or of them that divide the hoof, as the camel, because he cheweth the cud, but divideth not the hoof. He is unclean unto you. And the coney, because he cheweth the cud, but divideth not the hoof. He is unclean unto you. And the hare, because he cheweth the cud, but divideth not the hoof, he is unclean unto you. Now, I'm not sure whether these rabbit creatures, you know, conies and hares, actually chew the cud or not. But, if they certainly look like they're doing something like that, the way they work their little mouth and nose, you know. So that's probably what they're going by. And the swine, though he divide the hoof and be cloven-footed, yet he cheweth not the cud. He is unclean to you. Of their flesh shall you not eat, and their carcass shall you not touch. They are unclean to you. So there's your pork prohibition, people. I know you've been waiting on it. I think it's because of the danger of getting trichinosis from undercooked or under-refrigerated pork, which was a problem right up until less than a century ago. And, you know, my family was still scared of it back when I was a kid. So for sure it would have been a problem back in the Old Testament days. These shall ye eat of all that are in the waters. Whatsoever hath fins and scales in the waters, in the seas and in the rivers, them shall ye eat. And all that have not fins and scales in the seas and in the rivers, of all that move in the waters, and of any living thing which is in the waters, they shall be an abomination unto you. So you can eat just about any kind of freshwater fish, except catfish, which are scavengers, bottom feeders. Nasty. Eels and shellfish are not good either. Especially since a lot of people are allergic to shellfish, and the Israelites wouldn't have known how to deal with that. And you may say, yeah, but the Yahwehians could have taught them how to deal with that. And I guess you're right, but maybe that would have been violating their prime directive or something. You just don't know how, you know, these alien species think. They shall be even an abomination unto you. Ye shall not eat of their flesh, but ye shall have their carcasses in abomination. Whatsoever hath no fins nor scales in the waters, that shall be an abomination unto you. And these are they which ye shall have in abomination among the fowls. They shall not be eaten. They are an abomination. The eagle and the ossifrage and the osprey and the vulture and the kite after his kind, every raven after his kind, and the owl and the night hawk and the cuckoo and the hawk after his kind. So basically any kind of scavenger or bird of prey that eats dead, diseased, or weakened animals is going to be unclean. But birds like chickens, geese, ducks, turkeys, and so on are okay to eat because they don't eat dead animals or prey on diseased or weakened animals. And the little owl and the cormorant and the great owl and the swan and the pelican and the gyre eagle, and the stork, the heron after her kind, and the lapwing, and the bat. All fowls that creep going upon all four shall be an abomination unto you. Yet these may ye eat of every flying creeping thing that goeth upon all four, which have legs above their feet, to leap withal upon the earth. Even these of them ye may eat, the locust after his kind, and the bald locust after his kind, and the beetle after his kind, and the grasshopper after his kind. Well, you know what? I'm not going to eat those, even if they are considered clean. I will not eat the bugs, Klaus. But all other flying, creeping things, which have 4 feet, shall be an abomination unto you. And for these ye shall be unclean. Whosoever toucheth the carcass of them shall be unclean until the even. And whosoever beareth aught of the carcass of them shall wash his clothes and be unclean until the even. The carcasses of every beast which divideth the hoof and is not cloven-footed, nor cheweth the cud, are unclean unto you. Every one that toucheth them shall be unclean. And whatsoever goeth upon his paws among all manner of beasts that go on all four, those are unclean unto you. Whoso toucheth their carcass shall be unclean until the even. We're talking dead dogs and cats here, and also a bunch of woodland creatures like possums, raccoons, and so on. And he that beareth the carcass of them shall wash his clothes and be unclean until the even. They are unclean unto you. These also shall be unclean unto you among the creeping things that creep upon the earth, the weasel and the mouse and the tortoise after his kind, and the ferret and the chameleon and the lizard and the snail and the mole. So these are the miscellaneous unclean, I guess. These are unclean to you among all that creep. Whosoever doth touch them when they be dead shall be unclean until the even. And upon whatsoever any of them, when they are dead, doth fall, it shall be unclean, whether it be any vessel of wood or raiment or skin or sack, whatsoever vessel it be wherein any work is done, it must be put into water, and it shall be unclean until the even. So it shall be cleansed. And every earthen vessel, whereunto any of them falleth, whatsoever is in it shall be unclean, and ye shall break it. Of all meat which may be eaten, that on which such water cometh shall be unclean, and all drink that may be drunk in every such vessel shall be unclean. And everything whereupon any part of their carcass falleth shall be unclean, whether it be oven or ranges for pots, they shall be broken down, for they are unclean and shall be unclean unto you. Nevertheless, a fountain or pit wherein there is plenty of water shall be clean, but that which toucheth their carcass shall be unclean. So one little dead mouse, for example, won't pollute a whole well, but it will pollute a whole water bucket. And if any part of their carcass fall upon any sowing seed which is to be sown, it shall be clean. But if any water be put upon the seed, and any part of their carcass fall thereon, it shall be unclean unto you. And if any beast of which ye may eat die, he that toucheth the carcass thereof shall be unclean until the even. Because it might be diseased, you know. I think we've been over this before. And he that eateth of the carcass of it shall wash his clothes and be unclean until the even. He also that beareth the carcass of it shall wash his clothes and be unclean until the even. And every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth shall be an abomination. It shall not be eaten. You know, like snakes and such. Whatsoever goeth upon the belly, and whatsoever goeth upon all four, or whatsoever hath more feet among all creeping things that creep upon the earth, them ye shall not eat, for they are an abomination. You shall not make yourselves abominable with any creeping thing that creepeth, neither shall you make yourselves unclean with them, that ye should be defiled thereby. For I am the Lord your God, Yahweh Elohim. Ye shall therefore sanctify yourselves, and ye shall be holy, for I am holy. Neither shall ye defile yourselves with any manner of creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. For I am the Lord that bringeth you up out of the land of Egypt to be your God. Ye shall therefore be holy, for I am holy. This is the law of the beasts, and of the fowl, and of every living creature that moveth in the waters, and of every creature that creepeth upon the earth, to make a difference between the unclean and the clean, and between the beast that may be eaten and the beast that may not be eaten. And that's the end of chapter 11, dealing with which beasts are unclean and can't be used for food and shouldn't even be handled. But in chapter 12, we move on from the beasts to people. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, saying, If a woman have conceived seed and born a man-child, then she shall be unclean 7 days, according to the days of the separation for her infirmity shall she be unclean. And in the 8th day the flesh of his foreskin shall be circumcised. And she shall then continue in the blood of her purifying 33 days. She shall touch no hallowed thing, nor come into the sanctuary, until the days of her purifying be fulfilled. And if she bear a maid child, then she shall be unclean 2 weeks, so twice as long as for a male child, as in her separation. And she shall continue in the blood of her purifying 66 days. And when the days of her purifying are fulfilled, for a son or for a daughter, she shall bring a lamb of the first year for a burnt offering, and a young pigeon or a turtle dove for a sin offering, unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, unto the priest, who shall offer it before the Lord, and make an atonement for her, and she shall be cleansed from the issue of her blood. This is the law for her that hath borne a male or a female. And if she be not able to bring a lamb, then she shall bring 2 turtles or 2 young pigeons. Now, I think by turtles here, it means turtle doves. The one for the burnt offering, and the other for a sin offering, and the priest shall make an atonement for her, and she shall be clean. And that's the end of chapter 12. Now, in chapter 13, we move on from the uncleanness of childbirth to the uncleanness of disease, specifically on how to diagnose leprosy, and once it's diagnosed, how to determine whether it's highly contagious or not, and how to deal with it if it is. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron, saying, When a man shall have in the skin of his flesh a rising, a scab, or bright spot, and it be in the skin of his flesh like the plague of leprosy, then he shall be brought unto Aaron the priest, or unto one of his sons the priests. And the priest shall look on the plague in the skin of the flesh, and when the hair in the plague is turned white, and the plague in sight be deeper than the skin of his flesh, it is a plague of leprosy. And the priest shall look on him and pronounce him unclean. So if it goes deeper than the skin and turns the hair in that area white, it's a serious case that's probably contagious. Sounds reasonable. You know, I'm no doctor, but it sounds reasonable. If the bright spot be white in the skin of his flesh, and in sight be not deeper than the skin, and the hair thereof be not turned white, then the priest shall shut up him that hath the plague 7 days. So if it's only skin deep and doesn't turn the hair white, just needs to be monitored to see if it gets any worse. And the priest shall look on him the 7th day, and behold, if the plague on his sight be at a stay, and the plague spread not in the skin, then the priest shall shut him up 7 days more. And the priest shall look on him again the 7th day, and behold, if the plague be somewhat dark, and the plague spread not in the skin, the priest shall pronounce him clean. It is but a scab, and he shall wash his clothes and be clean. But if the scab spread much abroad in the skin, after that he hath seen of the priest for his cleansing, he shall be seen of the priest again. And if the priest see that, behold, the scab spreadeth in the skin, then the priest shall pronounce him unclean. It is a leprosy. I have no way of knowing if this is all accurate. If it makes sense as a way to treat leprosy or suspected leprosy. But it's pretty clear that this chapter is a medical text, not a spiritual text. Although it does refer to leprosy as a plague rather than as a disease. But that could just be because that's the way the humans thought of it. It doesn't necessarily mean that the Yahwehians looked at it that way. When the plague of leprosy is in a man, then he shall be brought unto the priest. And the priest shall see him, and behold, if the rising be white in the skin, and it have turned the hair white, and there be quick raw flesh in the rising, it is an old leprosy in the skin of his flesh, and the priest shall pronounce him unclean and shall not shut him up, for he is unclean. And if a leprosy break out abroad in the skin, and the leprosy cover all the skin of him that hath the plague, from his head even to his foot, wheresoever the priest looketh, then the priest shall consider, and behold, if the leprosy have covered all his flesh, he shall pronounce him clean that hath the plague. It is all turned white. He is clean. Now, notice, there, it's not saying he's cured. It just means he's no longer contagious. Well, that's the way I interpret it anyway. But when raw flesh appeareth in him, he shall be unclean. And the priest shall see the raw flesh and pronounce him to be unclean. For the raw flesh is unclean. It is a leprosy. So it's that raw flesh that makes him contagious, apparently. And it's the fact that he's contagious that makes him unclean. Or if the raw flesh turn again and be changed unto white, he shall come unto the priest. And the priest shall see him, and behold, if the plague be turned into white, then the priest shall pronounce him clean that hath the plague. He is clean. The flesh also, in which even in the skin thereof, was a boil, and is healed, and in the place of the boil there be a white rising, or a bright spot, white and somewhat reddish, and it be shewed to the priest, And if when the priest seeth it, behold, it be in sight lower than the skin, and the hair thereof be turned white, the priest shall pronounce him unclean. It is a plague of leprosy broken out of the boil. This is so obviously, you know, a medical textbook. I don't know how you could think it's anything else. But if the priest look on it, and behold, there be no white hairs therein, and if it be not lower than the skin, but be somewhat dark, then the priest shall shut him up 7 days. You know, again, monitor him to see if it gets worse. And if it spread much abroad in the skin, then the priest shall pronounce him unclean. It is a plague. But if the bright spot stay in his place and spread not, it is a burning boil, and the priest shall pronounce him clean. Or if there be any flesh in the skin whereof there is a hot burning, and the quick flesh that burneth have a white bright spot, somewhat reddish or white, then the priest shall look upon it, and behold, if the hair in the bright spot be turned white, and it be in sight deeper than the skin, it is a leprosy broken out of the burning. Wherefore the priest shall pronounce him unclean. It is the plague of leprosy. But if the priest look on it, and behold, there be no white hair in the bright spot, and it be no lower than the other skin, but be somewhat dark, then the priest shall shut him up 7 days. And the priest shall look upon him the 7th day, and if it be spread much abroad in the skin, then the priest shall pronounce him unclean. It is the plague of leprosy. And if the bright spot stay in his place and spread not in the skin, but it be somewhat dark, it is a rising of the burning, and the priest shall pronounce him clean, for it is an inflammation of the burning. You know, they really needed to make a flow chart of all this so you could see the medical decision making more clearly. If a man or woman have a plague upon the head or the beard, then the priest shall see the plague, and behold, if it be in sight deeper than the skin, and there be in it a yellow thin hair, then the priest shall pronounce him unclean. It is a dry scald, even a leprosy upon the head or beard. Now, a scald is, according to the American Heritage Dictionary, a scaly eruption of the skin or scalp. I had to look it up because I wasn't familiar with that term at all. And if the priest look on the plague of the skull, and behold, it be not in sight deeper than the skin, and that there is no black hair in it, then the priest shall shut up him that hath the plague of the skull 7 days. And in the 7th day the priest shall look on the plague, and behold, if the skull spread not, and there be in it no yellow hair, and the skull be not in sight deeper than the skin, he shall be shaven, but the skull shall he not shave. And the priest shall shut up him that hath the skull 7 days more. And in the 7th day the priest shall look on the skull, and behold, if the skull be not spread in the skin, nor be in sight deeper than the skin, then the priest shall pronounce him clean, and he shall wash his clothes and be clean. But if the skull spread much in the skin after his cleansing, then the priest shall look on him, and behold, if the skull be spread in the skin, the priest shall not seek for yellow hair, he is unclean. But if the skull be in his sight at a stay, and that there is black hair grown up therein, the skull is healed, he is clean, and the priest shall pronounce him clean. If a man also or a woman have in the skin of their flesh bright spots, even white bright spots, then the priest shall look, and behold, if the bright spots in the skin of their flesh be darkish white, it is a freckled spot that groweth in the skin, he is clean. And the man whose hair is fallen off his head, he is bald, yet is he clean. And he that hath his hair fallen off from the part of his head toward his face, he is forehead bald, yet is he clean. And if there be in the bald head or bald forehead a white reddish sore, it is a leprosy sprung up in his bald head or his bald forehead. Then the priest shall look upon it, and behold, if the rising of the sore be white reddish in his bald head or in his bald forehead, as the leprosy appeareth in the skin of the flesh, he is a leprous man, he is unclean. The priest shall pronounce him utterly unclean. His plague is in his head. And that doesn't mean it's psychological. It means it's physically infected his head, and it makes it even more serious. And the leper in whom the plague is, his clothes shall be rent, and his head bare, and he shall put a covering upon his upper lip, and shall cry, unclean, unclean. Now, I looked at some of the commentaries on this, and they say that the leper would either cover his mouth with his hand or with the skirt of his garment, and they think that this was to signify shame at his condition. But I'm thinking it could have been to keep from spreading a bunch of germs around when he's hollering, unclean, unclean. You know, the Israelites wouldn't have understood that, but the Yahwehians would have. All the days wherein the plague shall be in him, he shall be defiled. He is unclean. He shall dwell alone. Without the camp shall his habitation be. Now, check out the show art, which is made up of two illustrations from Bibles from the 19th century. And the illustration on the left depicts a bald-headed leper coming to the priest to be examined. The priest is up on the ramp of that Anunnaki-sized altar of burnt offering. He's tending to the Anunnaki-sized barbecue. You know, they would roast whole cows on this thing. And then on the right, you see an illustration where the leper has apparently been examined and found to be unclean, probably has leprosy in his head, and he's being banished from the camp and sent to dwell alone outside the camp. You know, without the camp shall his habitation be. Well, we're about out of time, so I think we better stop right here and pick it up next time in the very next verse, which will be Leviticus chapter 13, verse 47. Until then, keep the faith, stay clean, submit yourself for inspection regularly, and if you get banished from the camp, enjoy your time dwelling alone.